Okay, so what's your name?
My name's Adele Jesperson.
And what have you got here today at the Wilmslow Show?
Okay, we're here at Wilmslow Show today with our little company. It is Infused with Style. And we make and then sell garnishes, which you can put in your drink. So whether that be sparkling water or a gin and tonic.
So it's dried fruit, isn't it? Dried.
That's right, it's dried fruit. So we've got six different flavours. Some of them, for example, we've got orange, with cardamom and
cinnamon. But how long do you have to dry these fruits out for, these items?
Well, depending on the fruit and the water content, they usually take about 12 hours, and then we package them up, and once they're packaged they last for 3 months. Once the packet is actually opened, if you put it in a little Tupperware container, that will last for up to a month.
You wouldn't think that dried fruit would give off any other flavours because it's dried out, so all the juiciness has gone.
No, when you actually dry the fruit, it's called dehydration. And what you're doing is you're locking the flavour into the fruit, and it actually intensifies. So when you add the garnishes to your drink and then put your fluid in, the flavours then start to come back out into your drink. So it enhances the drink, and it also makes your glass look fabulous.
Is it possible to eat this dried fruit? I don't think it is it? Because it would be like a crisp or a flavoured crisp.
No, absolutely not. I always eat the fruit. You would laugh, my business partner never eats the fruit, but I'm the one that always eats the fruit at the end. Because as I say, once it goes back into the fluid, the fruit goes soft again. So it's absolutely perfect to eat. And we've got a food hygiene rating of 5, so you can definitely eat the fruits.
Wow, fantastic. And also I've seen on your stand today you got little gifts for children for their teachers.
We have. I work in a classroom myself, and I would love to get one of these little presents. So we've decided to put a little teacher backpack together. It's got a little poem in, and it's got 2 packs of our dehydrated fruit, so a perfect gift for any teacher or teaching assistant.
So where can people find you?
People can find us, we are C3, but most people probably won't know that, but if you look for the Whippy Ice Cream Van, we're close to the Whippy Ice Cream Van.
Where can people find you online and social media to come and visit you?
On social media, we are infusedwithstyle.com. And we're also on Facebook, Infused with Style, and you'll find us.
Fantastic, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello, sir, what's your name?
Peter.
Peter, so what are you and your boys doing here then at the Wilmslow Show today?
Well, we're the Manchester Regiment, 1914-1918. We're essentially reenactors.
From one of the wars, I mean, I play records for a living, so I'm guessing World War One.
World War One, yes, those are the years, 1914-1918.
So what's your rank then in the show then?
In the show today, well, I'm the commentator, so I don't really have a rank at all.
So who's the highest rank then here with you boys today?
For practical purposes, we keep the ranks very simple. We have a sergeant and a corporal.
Wow, fantastic. And all of this stuff that you brought with you as well, we're going to do some photographs of what you brought with you. Are these just replicas or are these actual artifacts from way back then?
Quite a bit of them are actual artifacts. Surviving artifacts.
Wow, so they've got some history to them then?
Oh yes, yes.
Fantastic.
I mean, the rifles have to be real because you can't replicate things like that.
Really? Wow.
And the machine guns.
And the machine... I'm all very kind of scared because when I saw you doing the flag a little bit earlier on and you were chatting with some of the guys earlier on, it was all kind of daunting. It was a bit like, wow. You know, the show was quite strong.
We are recreating a period of history where there was a good deal of discipline in society and in the army in particular.
Was there any like camaraderie and banter and light-hearted banter between the boys back then, or was it all very
always
there's your
yes,
job needs to be
yes,
done, just get on with it?
Mankind hasn't changed. He's the same cheerful soldier now as he was 100 years ago.
Well, that's good to know. Right, thanks very much. At the Wilmslow Show for 2019, glorious sunny day. Hello, sir, what's your name?
My name's John.
Is this a car that was actually on the film or not?
No, but it's been to all the places where the films were made. It's actually from Hawaii, from the Jurassic Park tour, Hawaii from 1993.
So obviously we're talking Jurassic Park.
Yes.
So tell me a bit about this car, its journey, and why have you brought it here today?
Well, yeah, it's brought it over from Hawaii, and because we're opening our dinosaur park in Wilmslow, Raptor Safari, raptorsafari.co.uk, and we're going to be open through the summer school summer holidays. Got a nice little picnic area by the Bolin, full of crocodiles and lots of dinosaurs around, and we're using the Jeep as a promotion for that.
So how come you thought about doing a dinosaur park in Wilmslow in Cheshire?
Well, why not? I mean, Chester Zoo just spent a couple of million pounds on their dinosaur exhibition. Not spent quite that much, but I think mine's better. it's really cool. Lots of dinosaurs. We've got T-Rex, we've got Velociraptors, and they look very much alive in the undergrowth and the woods and stuff, and it's a really nice day out for the whole family.
Some of the flat earth fraternity will argue whether dinosaurs were ever here in the first place, won't they? But we're not getting to that, eh? But on your dinosaur part then, what can children and families expect to see other than the dinosaurs?
Yeah, well, we've got in the river, we've got alligators, we've got very large snakes, we've got all kinds of snakes, giant spiders, giant ants. And then we've got all our dinosaurs as well, so it's a good day out for the whole family. The adults can chill by the river, drink Prosecco by the river, watch the kingfishers flying by. Wow. And the kids can go off with the rangers and look at the dinosaurs.
Are any of these dinosaurs moving and roaring?
Yeah, they move and they roar. They're very, very realistic. It's not like just the usual sort of plastic or even animatronic dinosaurs that are just stuck in some shrubbery. We actually sort of have to creep up on them and try and find them, and they move and run around, and very, very lifelike. You'll wonder whether you've actually seen real dinosaurs.
Fantastic. Right, so when can people... or where can people find more about you?
Yeah, it's www.raptorsafari.co.uk, and all the pictures are on the website there.
Fantastic, thank you very much.
Thanks, a pleasure. Cheers.
Hi, what's your name?
Adrian Botham.
So where are you from, and you and your group?
Hazel Grove in Stockport.
Okay, so what, you're Pantonic, so what do you do then?
We play steel bands, or steel pans, as which is where the name comes from, and obviously music like this is a tonic, which is where the name Pantonic All Stars comes from.
It is. I've heard some of the music you've been playing. It is really... It's a sound that you don't hear very often. Where does that sound originate from? It's from a country, isn't it, somewhere?
It all originates mainly from Trinidad and Barbados in the West Indies, from just after the war, when the Americans left a lot of oil drums in there, and the locals said, oh, look, we can make different sounds out of these.
So they dent them, don't they, rather?
They dent them and heat them up, beat them down. And there are basically five different instruments that get from the tenor pans that play the lead right through to the deep bass ones. And they've been over in this country really since the early 1950s.
But you don't see it very often though. I don't know why that is. There should be more.
You see a lot of it in schools, but perhaps teachers don't like working at weekends and Sunday afternoons, whereas this is very much a family-run band. All the people who run it have either got kids in the band or have had kids in the band, like my daughter, which is, she got me in it originally.
So I was going to say, so how did you come into this and your family come into all of this steel drum stuff then?
I had an 8-year-old daughter, who'll be 41 this year, who said, can I play in that steel band in Stockport? And we've gone from there. So I've been involved since 1989. So for 30 years I've been involved with running it.
So can you play one as well?
No.
No. Oh, but you wouldn't.
all those years I've been a manager. I've never learned to play. I used to play bass guitar years ago, but I've never learned to play steel pan.
There's nothing better than a sound of a steel drum band and that sound that it gives off when they're all in unison.
Yeah.
And they're all
yeah.
doing the same thing, and it kind of echoes around that area that you're playing.
They're very tight as an orchestra, because they practice two practices a week, plus we have a junior band, and a lot of them come and help the juniors learn. And they just learn what they've got to play, so they don't have any music there when they're playing, and they don't have any notes on the pans, most of them, because they know exactly what they're doing, because they practice, plenty of times.
Who's the youngest person you've got that plays in one of your groups then?
One of these lads today is 10.
10 years old.
The group today is aged between 10 and 16. There's nobody older than 16 in it today.
That is phenomenal. Right, listen, where can people find you anyway if they want to hear more of your stuff or watch you?
We've got a website, pantonicallstars.org, We're based in Hazelgrove at the high school, which is purely, we're not a school band, but that's our rehearsal base there in the sixth form block there. But you can find our full event programme on the website. We play all over the northwest, and this next month we're down up in Cumbria, and then we're going to Devon for a week in August. Play all around Torquay and Paignton and Dartmouth and so on. So we get around.
So there's still a big attraction then, isn't there, for steel bands?
Oh yes,
and stuff,
yeah. Yeah. It's a summer sound.
Yeah.
You know, it's brought the sun out today, and that's what we like.
And I noticed that you play pop songs, well-known songs.
We play a mix of traditional Caribbean songs, pop songs, and a few standard things like Africa and music, Bohemian Rhapsody, that type of thing, you know. It just shows how versatile steel pan is, that you can turn virtually anything into it. Sometimes, not at the moment, but we have some classical pieces like Queen of Sheba that's on our record. We've got six CDs, and some of those have our classical music on as well that we've done.
Well, listen, thank you very much anyway.
That's all right. It's a pleasure. Thanks.
Hi, so what's your name?
Vicky.
And what's your name?
George.
So what are you doing here at the Wilmslow Show?
We are promoting our club, which is the Wilmslow Wasps Dodgeball Club.
Dodgeball as in the film with Ben Stiller?
Well, we don't use wrenches for our dodgeball, but yes, similar.
So is dodgeball, explain dodgeball to me.
Dodgeball is an elimination sport. So you have two teams, you have various balls depending on which age you're playing with. So for the children, we use a foam ball. For the over 11s, we use a small cloth ball, and the adults, we use a bigger cloth ball. And basically the idea is you have permission to throw balls at another person and try and get them out.
So is there a lot of fitness involved with it?
Any fitness can play, any age can play, and any sporting ability, because anybody can pick up a ball and throw it, and that is, it's a really super inclusive sport for anybody to try.
So how many members of your team have you got at the moment then? Or have you got different teams?
So we have different teams. We have an under 11 group, an under 13s and an under 16s group, and we also have our adult sessions. So our under 13s group, which George is in, has just come third in the British Championships. So they did brilliantly.
George, let's talk about that then. So what does that feel like, coming third in the British Championships?
It felt good, but I also felt sad at the same time because we didn't play second.
But that's third. But that's third in the whole of the UK. So what kind of training would you have had to have done for that?
We've done a lot. We train most weeks from Saturdays to Thursdays for about an hour each day.
Is it a bit like football when you have you play in a position on the court or on the area?
There is actually, because you can play on the right or the left, and on the different positions you get different tactics. Like on the right and the left, you can counter more, and say you pass the balls out to the sides, then you can spread the balls out when you're throwing.
So what position do you play then?
Mostly on the right.
So we have six per team, per side. We play with either three balls or five balls. And it's 2-minute matches normally, and it's the team that's either got the most players on the court at the end or who eliminates the other side that is the winning team for the game.
If people want to come and watch some dodgeball, can they do that when you play?
Absolutely. There's loads of events that British Dodgeball run where they can come and watch. There's the European Championships in Newcastle in about 2 weeks' time in July. You'll find all the information on the British Dodgeball website. So there's loads of ways you can either come and watch, join in, and come and enjoy the sport, really. It's up and coming. It's very much a sport for everybody. And anybody can get good at dodgeball.
What's the? Are you looking for any new members at the minute? Then?
Absolutely, we welcome new members. So any age from 6 to 106, really. We have our Saturday mornings, which are 9 till 10 for 6 to 16-year-olds. Our Thursday evenings, which are 6:45 to 7:45 for 11 to 16-year-olds. And we have our adult session 8 till 9 on a Thursday. So yes, we absolutely welcome new members.
Fantastic, thank you. Aston Martin cars, these are gorgeous. What's your name?
Peter. So I look after the events and the brand partnerships for the Wilmslow Show.
Really. So just describe to me what two cars you've got on the Wilmslow Show today.
So we've got the DBS Superleggera, the all-singing, all-dancing, top-of-the-range model, and then we've got the DB11 V8 Volante as well.
So how much did you can I ask you how much these cars are?
Yeah. So your DBS, you're starting off around about £250,000, give or take whatever extras are on it. Your DB11 Volante, you're probably looking around about £175,000-180,000, and again, depending on what you decide to put on it. So
I think I'll have that £250,000 one, actually.
Yeah, yeah,
you've got the keys now.
Absolutely, drive away with it, absolutely fine.
With these Aston Martins, it's connected to James Bond.
Yeah.
Now, I know you told me earlier about the story, so can we just recap that story? How did the Aston Martin end up being Bond's original car?
Okay, so what I've been told, and as far as I'm aware, is that when the original meeting was happening down at, I think it was Pinewood Studios, and they were talking about what car to go for the next film, David Brown got wind of what was going on and decided to park the latest Aston Martin, which I think was the DB5, outside of the actual studios. So when the lunch break happened, they all had to walk outside and walk past this DB5, and then it turned a lot of heads and obviously started the ball rolling. But absolutely synonymous, Aston Martin and James Bond since that point, isn't it? So, and our customers love it as well. So
fantastic. Right, I know you can't name names, obviously, because it's data protection.
Yeah.
But I would love to know, has somebody been into your showroom and gone, right, I'll have that brand new car there,
yes,
that's just been launched, there's a cash, give me the keys.
Absolutely. There was a chap that was looking at a house in Alderley Edge, just happened to be driving past and saw a car he liked, and walked in and bought the car instead, picked it up the following day. So
no,
it does happen. It does happen, honestly. Yeah, yeah. So,
oh my god.
Yeah.
Right, listen, thanks very much anyway.
No problem at all.
Thank you for letting me sit in.
I'm glad you're in line. No problem at all.